You know, for your dog to be saved, your dog would have to reject the Trinity. Yeah, because, you know, of course, if your dog or your cat accepted the Trinity, then your dog or your pet wouldn't believe then that Jesus Christ died. So, and your dog must also reject free will. Because, as we know, free will denies the death of Christ for our sins. So these are all considerations about your pet being a member of the body of Christ. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zenner. And by the will of God, this will be the last installment of the series within the series within the series called The Limited Era. I have one more huge point to make, and then we're going to move on. I almost said go back. No. We're going to move on to the continuation of the final years of Millennium 6. But I want to share with you a funny photo my friend Brenda O'Neill sent me. She had bought a notebook several months ago, and there was a cute, clever saying on the front of the notebook, and one of my shows last week prompted her to send this to me. It says, "Lowering my expectations has succeeded beyond my wildest dreams." That's funny. Yes, and it always will. Lowering your expectations will always succeed. You can't go wrong there. All right. I know I've been testing your patience here. I've been beating this subject to death. You're never going to forget it. You're going to understand the current era. You're going to understand where we are, and you do. And you know, you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God put expectation in our heart to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he put that near and dear to us. And it helps us get through this difficult life. One last quote from the article from Clyde Pilkington. According to Paul, this is the advanced will of our Lord for today. That is the focus being marriage, parenting, and employment. This is the advanced will of our Lord for today. And again, too bad for you if you're not married or a parent, because you cannot live the advanced will of our Lord for today. However, this is not the advanced will of our Lord for today, and I'm going to show you that beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you had any doubt, and many of you are no longer have a doubt, I'm happy to be of service here. So much so that here's the killer. Quote, single women are instructed to, quote, marry, bear children, and guide the house, unquote. And Clyde here is dramatically misquoting 1 Timothy 5:14. He says that single women are instructed to marry, bear children, guide the house. Is that true? It is absolutely not true. A few further comments from me. No, marriage and parenting and employment are not the advanced will of our Lord for today. In fact, the opposite is true. If one wants to really be advanced, one will never get married, never have children, and dedicate oneself fully to the service of Christ. This is what Paul would have. This is the advanced will. It's advanced. Some people can't do it. That's fine. Settle into your routine. The advanced will is to never get married. I'm being bold today. Never get married. Never have children. As far as employment, I wouldn't put that in the same category. Of course, we want you employed. Paul says, I want you working with your hands, working quietly with your hands. Be productive in this life. Don't make any waves with the government. Don't complain. Just do your work. But as far as marriage and children go, Paul says that he wishes everybody could be like him. Because Paul lived, I will be bold and say this, it's not so bold, it's pretty obvious, Paul lived the advanced will of the Lord. Dedicated fully to the service of Christ. People who are married, Paul says, cannot dedicate themselves fully to the service of Christ. They can do certain things within that confine, but not everything. Now that's advanced. That was the station of our great apostle Paul. That is, not married with no children. That was his station. He was advanced, I would say. Aren't you glad that Paul didn't have to worry about remembering his wife's birthday? trying to figure out how to put his kids in braces. What? That'd be terrible. Paul's getting ready to write like the Romans, and he's like, it's either that or take the kids to soccer practice. Thank God Paul didn't have to pay for his dog's boarding every time he went on a missionary journey. He might not have gone. He might not have gone to Ephesus because he couldn't find anyone to sit his pets. Aren't you glad Paul didn't have pets or a wife? I'm really glad Paul didn't have kids that he had to put in braces, put through college. I want that guy single. I want that guy concentrating, don't you? That's the advanced will. It's not for everybody. Not everybody can be a Paul. Not everybody should be a Paul. Had Paul been married with children, he may not have had time to write the book of Ephesians, where he purportedly puts forth marriage and parenting as the ultimate call. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, quote, "For I want all humans to be as I myself also." But there's always that but there. Thank God for Paul's buts. He makes concessions to us poor human beings who are just trying to get by down here. Some of us have to get married. Some of us want to get married. Some of us want to have children, the family life. And so that's great. Paul gives a concession. But I wish, first and foremost, that everybody was like me. I want all humans to be as myself. That's present truth presented to us in 1 Corinthians 7:7. But Paul says each has his own gracious gift from God, and God will fulfill you in your gracious gift. My question is, do you think this somehow miraculously changed after Acts 28:28? After Acts 28:28, would Paul have suddenly said, you know, I'm actually disadvantaged not to have a wife, kids, a factory job, and a German shepherd? Would Paul have said that? I wish everyone was not like me. All right, let's look at the widows, because this is the last point I'm going to make, and then I'm moving on. Let's look at the entire context here, 1 Timothy 5:3, verse 15. Because Clyde's use of the term single women, as if God is telling all single women to get married, is not only absent from the passage, but it's misleading. This whole article of his is misleading as to the truth, as though Paul were now recommending marriage to every single woman. If you're single, you should get married. But this would be opposed to Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I dare say the corollary is Paul saying this to men also. Well, I just read 1 Corinthians 7:7. I want all humans, for I want all humans to be as myself. So is it true that Paul tells single women? It's exact wording our friend uses here. So that single women are instructed to marry. That is a misquoting, a really, I'm sorry to say, gross misquoting of the context. Now we're going to read it. The entire context of 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 15. Widows be honoring, who are really widows. Now, if any widow, you notice the subject here is widows, not single women. Single women. It's not single women in general. It's women who have had husbands who are now widowed. They're a special circumstance. The phrase single women is not in this context. And there's a huge difference between recommending that all single women get married or this particular problem. There's a difference between that and this particular problem with widows, and I'm going to get into that problem right here, and it's going to shine to you. It's going to make sense to you, and this is the last point I will make. Widows be honoring who are really widows. Now, if any widow has children or descendants, let them learn to be devoted to their own household first and reciprocate by paying their progenitors, for this is welcome in God's sight. Now, one really a widow and alone relies on God. Listen, one really a widow and alone relies on God and is remaining in petitions and prayers night and day. Stop for there, right there. I have to comment here real quick. Doesn't it sound a lot like what Paul wants back in 1 Corinthians? To be undistracted for the Lord? One who is really a widow, I'm going to tell you what that means. It's who is content in their widowhood. and alone relies on God. Would Paul say that was a bad thing? One who is really a widow is remaining in petitions and prayers night and day. Would Paul want that particular widow to get out of that situation, to now marry? Yet she who is a prodigal, a different kind of widow, a restive widow, a agitated widow, she who is a prodigal, though living, is dead. These things also charge that they may be irreprehensible. Now, if anyone is not providing for his own, and especially his family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let no widow be listed of less than 60 years. That is, listed to be taken care of by the ecclesia financially. Having been the wife of one man, attested by ideal acts, if she nourishes children, if she is hospitable, if she washes the saints' feet, if she relieves the afflicted, if she follows up with every good work. Paul's not recommending that this widow get married. He is simply saying that she be taken care of by the ecclesia because her good works tell everyone that she is really a widow. That is, she is content in her widowhood. She is praying day and night to God. She relies on God and she remains alone. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, to men you have been, I think it's 1 Corinthians 7, you have been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. As for me, I'm hearing Paul like crying to me from the grave, Zender, you have been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. Like Paul's trying to reach me through the ages in this verse. And I'm beginning to pay attention. It's good advice. Maybe I'm finally ready to take it. If she is hospitable, if she washes the saints' feet, if she relieves the afflicted, if she follows up with every good work. Yet the younger widows refuse. That is, these are not worthy for support. Why? For whenever they should be restive against Christ, they are wanting to marry. And Paul's saying this is a bad thing. They're restive against Christ. The one who's really a widow will remain a widow and be settled in Christ. However, the younger widows who are, they're like, they're still young fillies, you know, they still got that fire in them and they're unsettled. The younger widows refuse, don't support them, for whenever they should be restive against Christ, they're wanting to marry. It's like, why are they doing that? See, this is the opposite of saying that Paul's telling every single woman here to get married. No, in actuality, he's saying that the widows who want to get married, they're kind of doing a thing that Paul wouldn't recommend. Having judgment, these have judgment, seeing that they repudiate their first faith. In other words, it's not good enough for them to be really a widow and to rely on Christ with petitions day and night. No, but they want to go back to the situation they were in, that is being married. Yet the younger widows refuse, did that, having judgment, yes, yes. Yet, at the same time, they are learning to be idle also. Paul does not like this. Wandering about the homes. Yet not only are they idle, but gossips. There's nothing worse than a gossip, except an idle gossip. But then would the gossip be idle and gossiping? Oh no, idle and everything else but gossiping is the way I'm reading this. They're gossips and meddlers, speaking what they must not. I'm intending then that younger widows are to be marrying. Now, this is the part Clyde focuses in on, and he changes younger widows to single women. He changes the text blatantly. The text says younger widows. Clyde changes that to say single women. But these younger widows that Paul just described, that are restive, that are meddlers, that are gossips, these are the ones who are to be marrying, because marrying for them is better than them being all whacked out because they don't have a husband anymore. They're whacked out over it. They're whacked out over it, and they're getting crazy. They're gossiping, they're meddling, they're restive. They don't want to settle in an alone life on Christ where they wash the feet of the saints. They're hospitable, they take care of people. They take a sigh of relief. Okay, I'm free of having to care for a husband. Now I'm going to concentrate on Christ. That's what Paul really wants. He's not telling all single women to get married. He's not saying, like I wrote in Ephesians, now marriage is the premier place in the ecclesia. So I'm telling everybody to get married. Everybody get married. No, it's the exact opposite. It's a concession once again from Paul. A concession. Well, I guess you better go ahead and get married since you're acting like such a crazy filly. I'm intending then. Then. The word then is hugely important. I'm intending then. It's because that then ties back to everything he's just said about those restive filly type widows who aren't digging the widowhood. So they're to marry, bear children, manage the household, giving an opposer nothing as an incentive, favoring reviling. For already some were turned aside after Satan. That's it, man. It's like there are two types of widows in this passage. There's the real widows. Paul calls them those who are really widows. Let them remain that way. Perfectly consistent with his admonition in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that he wishes all humans would be like him. Oh, you're a widow? Sorry to hear that. Your husband died. That's terrible. I commiserate with you. And the woman might say, Paul, what's your advice for me? The woman might say, what's your advice for me? Paul would say, how you feeling about this? Well, I miss my husband, but, you know, it's not unpleasant having spare time and not having to think about washing his underwear every other day. So, I mean, it's not terrible. And the saints come over all the time. I cook for them. I wash their feet. And I have a lot more time for studying, for prayer, for leisure. Paul would go, excelente, excelente. You stay in that condition. Because I'm the same Paul that I was in 1 Corinthians. Strange, though, this letter I'm quoting from 1 Timothy is an early letter, so I'm wondering why. Wait a minute. It's not 1 Timothy. Oh, yes, 1 Timothy 5, 3:15. This should be thrown out, because why is our friend Clyde Pilkington referencing this since it's an early letter right along with 1 Corinthians? A little inconsistent there, I would say. I think I've really made a hell of a point today. By the grace of God, of course. There's no other way to do it. I might have some loose ends to tie up on this topic tomorrow. Don't be shocked if I do. Don't be disappointed. That would mean there'd be one more installment of this. I've tried not to repeat myself too often, but I fear that I have. I hope I haven't strained your patience, but this is what I do. Yeah, I make sense for a living, and I possibly strain your patience for a living. Yet, if my mail means anything, you are appreciative of this series, within the series, within the series. And look, keep writing me. I had told you earlier that I was getting away from my mail because I felt inundated. Well, I can't handle being away from you. I can't handle it. It's worse ignoring my mail because I need you. I really need you. And so I'm back. It's probably one third of my job to keep up correspondence. Write me. I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you. You're not a burden to me. I'm dead without you. I can't do this without you. I need your encouragement. If you want to ask me questions, go for it. Yes, I'm actually saying this. Go for it. But if you would do me a favor, this would be really helpful if you could just write one question at a time. That's real helpful. Some people write me and they say, Martin, can you explain the eons? What does that mean? And when people are in the second death, are they alive or dead? And could you tell me what Jesus means in Matthew 25 when he talks about the judgment of the nations? I'm like, go to martincenter.com. Listen to everything I've ever said, read everything I've ever written. It'll take you 2 years, and then come back and see if you still have those questions. But seriously, if you have one question, you need something clarified, write me. I'd be happy to help you with that. I am a servant to the body of Christ, not only in these shows, but in my writings, in my articles. So thank you for being here. I couldn't do it without you.